Welcome back to another edition of the Pennsylvania Prisons and Parole Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Tarkowski. Today, we'll check in with two more state correctional institutions to learn more about their unique missions, cultures, and histories. Later in the show, we'll visit with Superintendent Tina Walker about the first 20 years of SCI Fayette. But up first is a conversation with Deputy Superintendent William Franz at SCI Muncie, who will tell us why the women's facility in Lycoming County might not be what most people picture when they think about a state prison. Deputy Franz, can you tell us about your career with the DOC and at SCI Muncie and why you're a good person to talk to us about the facility today?
Sure. William Franz, I'm currently the Deputy Superintendent for Centralized Services at SCI Muncie. Actually started in 1997 as an intern at Muncie and then kind of jumped around a little bit. I've worked at Housedale for 5 years. I worked at Rockview for a couple months and then SCI Benner Township when that opened. But my other parts of my 27 years have been all spent at Muncie in various positions. Most recently, just in April, switched from I was Deputy Superintendent for Facilities Management for the past 6 years. And then I switched over to Deputy Superintendent for Centralized Services, which is what I'm currently at right now.
I want to talk to you about a 27-year career a little bit later on, but for now, let's focus on SCI Muncie. We've talked to a lot of folks from different facilities over the last few months, and we hit on the prototypical facilities and how they all, the ones that were built in the 90s kind of all look the same. That is certainly not the case at SCI Muncie, which had a different purpose when it was built. Can you tell us about that?
SCI Muncie originally was an industrial home for wayward women, and that opened in 1920. And the purpose of it at that point was to train women between the ages of 16 and 30, basically to be better mothers and better wives. And then in 1953, the name was changed to the State Correctional Institution at Muncie. It definitely is not a prototypical jail. We have a nice blend of old style, what we refer to as cottage style units. And we have nine of them. We have two dormitory style units, and then we have two prototypical units that would look like the institutions that were built in the 90s. We have two of those, but when it was the industrial home for wayward women, all the cottage style units were self-contained. So they did everything on the unit. They didn't use a lot of centrally located things such as a dining room and that type of thing that we do now. They had kitchens on all the units. And everything was kind of compiled in one unit.
Okay, so that's kind of a different layout than we're used to. Separated, right? Those cottages are separate, unique, and distinct. How does that layout affect your operations on a day-to-day basis, benefits and challenges?
If you come to Muncie, it doesn't look stereotypically what a prison looks like. When you come in, a lot of people that have visited Muncie say it almost looks like a college campus, the way that it's spread out. There's no zone fencing. So everything's kind of wide open when you come in. The older style units, they do bring their share of challenges. Like I said, we're over 100 years old. So a lot of the observation is challenging and limited on those units. So basically, there are two floors with cells on either side of the hall. And then there's a closed stairwell that leads to the second floor. So that in itself creates a lot of challenges and a lot of blind spots. So we do have a lot of cameras at SCI Muncie just to kind of make up for the fact that we don't have the lines of sight that maybe a prototypical institution would have. Our maintenance department, who is just absolutely phenomenal, they do a lot of work. Our plumbing is old. Everything's kind of old, and we're in the process of updating everything to bring it into 2024. We've been challenged with putting in air conditioning on a lot of the units, which isn't easy when you're dealing with buildings that were built in the 1920s and the 1900s just in general.
I think anybody that has an old house kind of can sympathize with that.
Sure. Yeah. There's a lot of challenges structurally. Benefits to the institution, I think there are benefits to that too. We are wide open. It doesn't necessarily look like a jail per se. So that creates somewhat of a more calming environment, I think. We have flowers, we have trees. We, like I said, it's a kind of that campus feel. And I think that our residents benefit from that. It's not all concrete and razor wire, although we do have some of that. But it is, there's a lot of flowers. It looks very nice in the spring and the summer. And then with the units, we do have a lot of smaller units. We range from, I think we have a unit that holds 46. And then one of our biggest cottage style units holds 94. And then obviously our prototypicals hold 126 on each side for a total of 252. But the smaller units give us an opportunity to kind of focus more on those individuals that are housed on that unit. They don't kind of get lost in the shuffle as they would potentially on bigger units. So if they're having problems, if they're having a crisis, that our staff can recognize that a little bit easier with the lower population on each unit.
You mentioned the green space and the flowers at the facility. I was there some months back with some folks who had never been at a prison before, and they were shocked at the amount of greenery that was inside the walls there. Is that a common reaction?
Yeah, we mow a lot of grass at Muncie. There's a lot of grass. Like I said, there's trees, which is really uncommon for state institutions. We have trees. We have a center circle that is flowers and bushes. And then in front of all the cottage style units, they also, the inmates plant flowers. And there's times when we do beautification contests on what unit looks better, and that the inmates take a lot of great pride in going out there, working and making their space look nice.
And that's just not by that's not by accident either, right? We talk a lot about trauma-informed care and some of the challenges that these women have gone through before they arrive with us, and that's all part of the process of preparing them for reentry.
Sure. They like I said, take pride in it. It's a calming effect for them. It's almost therapeutic at times, I think, to go out and make their space look nice. A lot of them, like you touched on the trauma piece, a lot of them didn't have the opportunity to do that when they were on the outside. They were in controlling relationships, and they were kind of told what to do and when to do it. And the ability to kind of make the space their own and take pride in it, I think, goes a long way.
Talking about preparing the incarcerated population for reentry, can you talk to us about the educational vocational opportunities at Muncie?
Yes, we have a fully functional school. They offer GED programming. We have adult basic education classes. The inmates have the opportunity potentially to work towards their Commonwealth secondary diploma program, where they contact the high school that they were in and determine the amount of credits that they need and work for that. Colleges are very active at Muncie. We have an inside-out class with Bucknell, which their students come in. It's half the class is made up of Bucknell students, half the class is made up of our residents. And Bucknell has recently started to offer 4 credits for our ladies that participate in that class. Commonwealth University, it used to be Bloomsburg University, now they're part of Commonwealth University. They do a Pell Grant program, which our ladies can earn up to 24 college credits if they participate in that program. We have a Penn State tutoring program where a professor from Penn State comes in and works with a group of inmates that may have some college or may have their GED high school diploma, and works and creates a tutoring program for them to then turn around and help the inmates that are looking to try to get their GED. And they work with them one-on-one. That program has been going on for several years and is really successful. Most recently, Penn College is going to potentially start working with our restaurant trades program. And I'll touch on the vocational programs momentarily, but Penn College wants to come in and work to offer some of our graduates from our restaurant trade program up to 30 credits in a baking program. That can be applied to a trade school and associate's degree down the road. To talk about our vocational programs, I mentioned restaurant trades. That's a very popular program. Our maintenance department, I touched on them briefly before, they renovated an old area in the school, and now it's almost a state-of-the-art restaurant. A lot of the equipment is new, and our teacher is phenomenal. He's been around he's going on 30 years. Unfortunately, I think he's going to retire soon. But he just won Teacher of the Year for Correctional Education Association in 2024. It does a phenomenal job.
But the restaurant trades program that teaches folks to be able to walk out of SCI Muncie and right into a professional kitchen.
Sure. They get ServSafe certification, and Penn College is just going to kind of capitalize on that and just make them even more employable if they get the opportunity to do the Penn College piece of that program. Penn College is going to offer 7 credits for those individuals that have completed our restaurant trades program, and then an additional 30 potentially. Like I said, that's still in the works, but I'm really excited about that program. Cosmetology, we offer the ability to get licensed so they can go out. As soon as they leave jail, they potentially can get a job doing hair and nails. That's a very popular program amongst the inmates here. They get a lot of experience working on each other. We have a program where staff can pay money to get a haircut here as well. And I mentioned our restaurant trades instructor, our cosmetologist, actually won that same award in 2021. So our teachers we're just blessed with a very strong group of dedicated professionals that are teachers. A couple other vocational programs that we offer a machine shop that focuses on the CNC coding. Again, popular program. Quick story, if I may, we had a reentrant that completed machine shop and the coding program, has called back in several times to let us know how she's doing and worked a couple different jobs in coding and most recently just got married and is currently working as a supervisor. Automotive trades program is our newest program. They went through one class already and we currently started our second class. We recently got a car donated by one of the staff members here to put into that class, and we moved that car in a couple weeks ago. The goal of that class at some point is to be able to test and pass the inmates so they are certified PA state inspectors. That's a little bit down the road, but that's what we're working towards. But we have a new teacher that had, like I said, recently started that program. He's a lot of energy. A lot of great ideas on what he wants to do with that program as well.
We're chatting with William Franz, Deputy Superintendent for Centralized Services at SCI Muncie. He's got 27 years with the DOC. You hear him talk about the staff, the teachers, the folks at SCI Muncie who really are dedicated their time and expertise to serving the population there. Can you tell us a little bit more about the staff culture at Muncie? It seems like everybody is pulling the rope in the same direction, whether it's coming up with new programs or even just supporting the cosmetology program by getting their haircut at the facility. What's the staff culture like?
Sure. We have great staff at Muncie. Let me start off by saying that. I think one of the big differences between male institution staff and female institution staff, our staff need to buy into the treatment programs. We have a large percentage of mental health cases at Muncie, and we do a lot of different treatment programs. And a lot of times the security staff are just as invested and just as involved in addressing some of the concerns that the inmates have as the treatment staff are. We have a blend of old and new staff. I would say half of our officers now are in that 3 to 5 year range. We've had quite a few retirements in the last 5 years. COVID certainly didn't help that. A lot of staff did leave around that time, retired if they were able to, and had the amount of years in order to do that. But it's a nice blend, and it's, you know what I mean? It's tough losing that kind of experience with that number of officers that have left, but there's a new energy too with the younger staff. They want to learn, they buy into the mission, and it's varied at Muncie depending on what we're dealing with, what population we're dealing with. Cause we have, there's only us in Cambridge Springs. So we pretty much have every different program that the male jails have just on a smaller scale. But the staff like that. They like the challenge. They just buy into what we're trying to do here.
We're kind of running short on time, but I wanted to ask you about the relationship with the community. You're in Southern Lycoming County, probably one of the larger employers in the area. How does staff and the facility as a whole interact with the community in Muncie?
Sure. Yeah, we are one of the larger employers, employ over 600 people. I think we have a good relationship with the community. We do a friends and family tour every year during Corrections Week, and that allows individuals from the community to come in to tour Muncie. And we get a usually a pretty big turnout, between 50 and 75 community members come in and just kind of walk around and see what we do and what we're about. And I think kind of opens their eyes a little bit with all the programming and stuff that we offer. Some other stuff quickly, I know we're running out of time, that I'll talk about. We have an inmate organization, and they hold fundraisers and raise money by selling different items. Some of those items come from community vendors. And then it's a lot of the give back. They give back to the local YWCA. They've give money to school districts for a backpack drive or a school supply drive. But the one of the big areas that the women really focus on, and you had touched on this piece, the trauma piece, they like to give back to nonprofit agencies that assist women and children. Most have probably been a victim of domestic violence. We say upwards of 85% of our ladies have experienced some sort of trauma in their life. So a lot of the monies that they raise, they like to give back to those agencies that help those victims as well on the street.
Every facility has inmate organizations that give back to local communities, and they support the organizations that do work that is meaningful to them. So it's definitely not surprising that the residents of the women's prison give back to organizations that support women and children in need. Before I let you go, you've been with the DOC for 27 years, since 1997, as you mentioned. A lot of folks only base their opinions of prisons and the correctional system based on what they see on TV. You've been doing it for so long. When you're having a dinner party, or you meet people for the first time and they want to know about your job, what do you tell them? What keeps you coming back? What's your favorite part about the job?
I think I strive to make a change. I believe that a lot of the residents that we have at SCA Muncie deserve that opportunity to try and change and make their life better than it was when they were out before. I always say that it would be difficult to go through life being judged by sometimes what a 5-minute decision on your worst day, and to constantly have that thrown in your face and constantly be judged by that. I don't know that anyone would want to go through life like that. So I'm all about second chances. It's amazing to me when we do have success stories. A lot of the ladies that reenter society will call back in. That's always a good moment for me. It's always a feel good moment to know that they're doing well. And I think that from an outside perspective, someone that doesn't know what it's like to be inside a prison, I think it's important to say, you know what I mean? We offer a lot of programmings. We do that for a reason. A lot of these ladies, 90% of them probably or more, are going to reenter society. They may be your neighbor. They may live down the street from you. And you can't just say, okay, well, we're going to lock them up and throw away the key, because that doesn't benefit anybody. It doesn't benefit the towns are going back to, the cities are going back to, their families and whatnot. And I think you got to give people an opportunity to change and give them the skills to try to do that.
Thanks to Deputy Franz and everyone at SCI Muncie. Now let's head to Southwestern PA and Superintendent Tina Walker, who will share what she's learned over 20 years in the DOC. SCI Fayette just celebrated its 20-year anniversary. Superintendent Walker, can you tell us how things have changed over that first 20 years? Maybe some of the lessons learned so far.
Well, we've definitely come a long way. In the beginning with SCI Fayette, you had two institutions combining, which was SCI Waynesburg and SCI Pittsburgh. So back then, getting those staff members to work together to create our own institution of SCI Fayette presented a lot of challenging times to where we are today. And I believe that Fayette is one of the best institutions in the state. We've been through a lot of transition with staff retirements, and during our 20-year celebration, we allowed staff members who have been here from the beginning to speak to the current staff, to let them know how things have changed and what a great institution this is. We were also blessed to have Secretary Harry, because she was here in the beginning as a unit manager at Fayette, so she was able to speak on her time there. And we did a family tour, which was really eye-opening for our employees' families to come in and check out the institution.
So what's it like when you combine, like you said, the two facilities that close into a new facility? We have a shared mission, a shared goal from the top on down throughout the Department of Corrections, but every facility is a little bit different. What was that like coming and bringing the two cultures to create SCI Fayette?
Well, it was challenging at times because you had SCI Waynesburg, which was not a maximum security institution. So you have those staff members who were first boots on the ground, so to speak, here at the institution. And then you had SCI Pittsburgh staff come in. So there would be, you know, challenging times between those staff saying, you know, with the Waynesburg staff, basically, you don't know what it's like to work in a real jail. And just to get, you know, work through those small issues, in addition to, we had a tough inmate population. You know, we're getting inmates, you know, brought into the facility. We had some incidents, staff assaults, inmate assaults, and just learning to grow into this new institution. It was challenging. But I've been here since 2004, and I came from Green. So we also had that meant, you know, we had a lot of staff come over from SCI Green just because of the location. And just to deal with all three of those institutions to make it SCI Fayette and where we are today, then where we were back in 2003 and 2004, it's leaps and bounds. It's a great facility to work at.
And what would you want folks to know about your staff culture today, the people that you work with every day? What makes them special?
You know, I'm all about our staff. I think we have some of the best in the state. I think our culture, it's good. I mean, we have some challenging times as well because of staff shortages. You know, we have 35 CO positions that are vacant. You know, we've had some challenging times retaining commissioned officers due to pay. So, you know, we're just working through those things. But I would say overall, the culture is good. And we work together as a team here at Fayette. We can put aside our differences and come together when we need to.
So you've been at SCI Fayette for 20 years now.
Yes.
You talked about recruitment and retention, some of the issues that statewide and not just the Department of Corrections, law enforcement throughout the country are going on right now. What keeps you coming back for 20 plus years? You talk about retention. What brings you back every day? What's your favorite part about the job?
The staff that I work with every day, and just I've grown up in corrections. I always tell that story. I started as a high school intern, so I literally grew up in the Department of Corrections, and just to see how far it's come, like the new challenges that face us with RHU reform, and seeing our staff members come together and really make changes for the better of the institution. And I it's all about the staff for me. I have a genuine love for most of the staff that we work with every day. And I see the hard work they put in and the pride that they take in their job.
Talk about the hard work and stuff that's coming up. The Department of Corrections is an agency that loves its acronyms. We've got them all over the place. And I've got one that I want to ask you about, GESA, a GESA project. Can you tell the listeners what GESA stands for?
I also felt that same way when GESA came around. I was like, what is GESA? So it is the Guaranteed Energy Savings Act, and it's used to decrease the overall growing utility cost. So basically, it was a mass upgrade to building components, which was all of our lighting fixtures, our HVAC, water, and it will be over time. It's a 16-year period where we're going to end up seeing a savings over time. So initially, you don't see that savings, but it's based upon the lighting fixtures, for example. Over time, they use less electricity. So we're actually on the end of the project. We're 95% complete with our GESA project, and the remaining parts of the project can't even be completed till next year because they involve our electronics and they have to order that software.
It's a common theme when we talk to the different facilities throughout the state. It always comes back to the idea that you know, most people's perceptions of what goes on in a state prison comes from TV and movies, and everybody says that's not what really happens. And it's true. We've got countless examples over the time we've been doing this this podcast. But the example that I do want to bring up, the license plate factory. People say, you know, oh, we don't make license plate. But actually, this is one where TV's got it right. We do have a license plate factory at SCI Fayette.
Yes, we do. So for the past 20 years, we've been creating all the license plates for PA, with the exception of a few like specialty motorcycle plates, which are made at SEI Huntington. Our correctional industries produce up to 15,000 license plates per day, 5 days per week. They average over 2 million plates per year. And their workforce, so correctional industries, their workforce is our inmate population, and we employ approximately 100 inmates. So the process is producing any plate that involves applying pre-printed vinyl sheeting, and they obviously take the orders from PennDOT. So we were on hold for a little bit because of the new license plates that are going to be available through Pennsylvania, which I, you know, side note, I really like the Liberty Bell license plates. I'm excited for that.
I was going to ask you, what was the reaction? Were the incarcerated workers, like, was there a buzz? Like, did they care? Is it all the same to them? But it's what was it like when that news came out?
Actually, the inmates that work in CI, some of those inmates worked at SEI Pittsburgh, and they came down to SEI Fayette when it closed. So they've been in CI for 40 years. And they actually asked me on my rounds, they're like, Ms. Walker, how do you like the new license plate design? I said, I really like it. I think it's awesome for Pennsylvania with the Liberty Bell. They're like, yeah, us too. It looks nicer. I'm like, yeah, you're right. It looks nicer. So yeah, they like the new license plate design.
That's awesome. So if, you know, anybody that's got a vehicle and it has a license plate on their car, it came from SEI Fayette.
Yes. Prior to that, it was SEI Pittsburgh.
I don't want people thinking that it's like folks are with a hammer and a chisel and they're like hammering out these tin plates. This has got computer work involved, computer aided design, and everything in between.
Yes, I definitely could not speak on every piece of it. It's an amazing process to see in person. That I always enjoy when we do tours for anybody. We take them to correctional industry so they can see that entire process from the beginning until the end.
What are some of the unique educational and vocational opportunities beyond CI?
So our education department is one of eight institutions that offer, I'm sorry, is one of 24 institutions that offer eight different voc education programs. So currently Fayette offers carpentry, cosmetology, custodial maintenance, electricity, a flagging program, OSHA, HVAC, and welding. And we actually offer NCCER certificates, which is the National Center for Construction Education and Research, for five of those in carpentry, HVAC, electricity, custodial maintenance, and welding. So that's really good for our inmate population to be able to, you know, for reentry purposes, to go out and obtain jobs because they have these certificates so they can be successful when they reenter society.
When you go to like a inmate graduation or from these vocational, I'm sure you speak the classes and the family comes in. What's your favorite part of those graduation ceremonies?
You know, as a mom myself, when I see the mom stand up clapping and cheering, like that's my favorite part, just to see that, you know, their son may have made a mistake in life, but to watch him take the steps to improve his future and to see the tears in their eyes, they jump up and clap. You always know who the mom is in the room because they're jumping up and clapping. Even had a few scream like, that's my boy. So that is my favorite part of the whole thing, that as a mom, to see the moms be so excited to see them making a change.
What do you want people to know about SEI Fayette and the relationship with the community out there in Southwest PA?
You know, here at SEI Fayette, we have a community works program. And so our inmates that are able to, that have been vetted through our security department, have been approved to work outside the fence, so to speak, they go out to the community and they help, you know, clean up. For example, we clean up the roadways. We go to fire halls and help them clean up the local fire halls. Like, we've cleaned up areas where have been destroyed by storms. So I think it shows our community that we do care about Fayette County. I know when COVID hit and we had to suspend the CWP program, we were getting calls from the mayor of Fayette County asking, like, can you please get this set back up? It's such a great program. So I believe that community support is here. We have provided a lot of employment to this area that didn't have a high employment rating. So I think our community is very grateful for SEI Fayette.
Is there anything before we let you go that I should have asked about your facility that I did not?
No, I think you covered everything. I'm grateful to talk a little bit about my home institution of Fayette and how very much blessed I am to work with such professionals every single day. And also, even with the incarcerated individuals, just to see them, hey, they've made a mistake and get ready to go out in society. It's been eye-opening for me.
We appreciate Deputy Franz and Superintendent Walker for taking us behind the scenes of their facilities. You've been listening to the Pennsylvania Prisons and Parole Podcast. We're here with new episodes on the last Wednesday of each month. For more DOC content, you can check us out at CorrectionsPA on Facebook, X, and LinkedIn. On behalf of Executive Producer Kurt Bope, thank you for listening. Until next time.